I'm the dopest of the dopest. Hater, I know you know this. My thighs still the freshest and mine is still the coldest. Don't you lose focus, the paper is still the gold.
Not for $1 million will I sell my soul.
Back against the wall, but I'm in love with the pressure.
3, 2, 1, and we're live. 3&D, Signs in Sports Podcast.
You ready to do this?
Yeah, you're good, brother.
Okay, man. Welcome to the 3&D Signs in Sports Podcast, everybody. As you know, this is the newest, most exciting sports entertainment podcast on Rumble. Everybody, I have with me a special guest today for the podcast. I got with me King Bao, Joel Bauman. We are going to be talking about a multitude of topics. Joel, how you doing, bro? How's everything going?
I'm blessed, my friend. I'm blessed. Life is very good right now.
we've been very, very excited to have you on the podcast, man. We've been anticipating this day ever since we got into contact with you. Nothing too crazy, you know. We just want to hear your story. Anything that you want to talk about, anything that you feel that you want to say. This is a free platform. We value free speech here. So whatever you feel like you want to say, need to say, I'm gonna ask you a couple questions. Anywhere you want to take them, whatever. I mean, we can do whatever you want to do.
Let's work.
Alrighty. My first question that I got for you is, why MMA? What is it about MMA that made you want to venture into that area?
When I was young, I was obsessed with Bruce Lee. I used to watch WWE wrestling back when it was WWF, and I was actually more of a fan of WCW. I used to get the WCW Beach Bash videos, you know, where Hulk Hogan was versing. I don't remember who it was. Ric Flair was in a cage match. I don't know. It's just,
yeah.
I used to buy those videos and rent those at Cash Wise. And one day when I was watching WWE, you know, whatever it was back in the day, a Bruce Lee movie came on. And afterwards, I became obsessed. I always wanted to be a professional wrestler. And then I decided to, want to be and dedicate my life to martial arts. But people remember when I was a kid, I was always obsessed. I was always obsessed with kicking and, you know, doing karate moves. And I always thought I was a badass and that I could fight. It just became a journey of trying to understand as many martial arts as I could. I started doing karate and taekwondo. And one of my friends, his name's Tyson Tufty. He was a black belt in our small little town. He was very, very good at karate, and I would have him look at my kicks and judge my kicks and tell me where he thought I was at, and he would always give me great feedback. And shout out to for being an inspiration when I was young. But I am obsessed with the idea of martial arts. And then I even wrote a paper in the fourth grade about like wanting to make this thing or this company or this idea to have all the top, you know, fighters of all the top, you know, styles essentially come together and find out which style was the best. Lo and behold, I have a Sega Dreamcast at the time, and I find out there's this thing called the UFC. And I rented this video game after church one day, because when I was a good kid, my parents let me rent a video game, you know, yeah. After some Sundays after church, and that's what I was looking forward to all week. Yeah. I ended up getting this UFC game, and I said, if this is real, someday I'm going to do that. And then it became a real thing, and, you know, watched all the UFCs, you know, kind of growing up, became obsessed with it, and said that's the thing that I think I want to do. Then I got into sales. When I was in college, I got into network marketing, and I got introduced to a company that gave me my career back. Essentially, I had suffered a head injury in college. Took me out for about 3.5 months. I was told I might never compete again. Got shown this technology from this company that essentially, like I said, it does some pretty incredible things. one of the incredible things that this technology does that helped me is lower the inflammatory markers in a human by 47% in 90 minutes.
Oh, wow.
You know, supposedly, right? So I'm saying, you know, trying to see if this thing works. 2.5 weeks later, I was cleared to wrestle. So, you know, we took that story and started sharing it with other people and helping other people. And I started to develop a full-time income from that company right around, you know, the time I was in college. And that's why I decided not to go back. I wanted to share this mission. I wanted to share this opportunity, these incredible life-changing products. And I started to get back in crazy shape. I was the best athlete I had really ever been because I was starting to learn about, you know, health really, and the foods that we eat can, you know, do this. So I sat around and I was sitting around and I was doing music at the time. That was when I started to learn how to produce for myself because I just had the time to. I didn't have a day job. I, you know, was pretty privileged. Maybe not even knowing I was at the time, but I was able to just, you know, focus on my craft, whatever that meant. If it was music, if it was my body, I just started honoring my temple. And one day I was sitting in the crowd at an event that we had a guy purchase our company named Sam Castor. And Sam Castor is known for starting a company called Manatech. Go research Manatech. Go figure out how big that company was. They had what's called an ace man in technology, and that technology was doing incredible things. It's ultimately nature's most researched molecule. 100 million, hundreds of millions of dollars put into research to have peer-reviewed studies to show the things that it does, right? He was using this technology he was donating this technology because this technology, what it does in a human is incredible for the immune system and for the body's ability to naturally recover and to shall we say, we don't say our products treat, cure, heal or anything like that. Let me say that. I have to say that, just, you know, stay safe.
For sure.
But when the body is given the things that it needs, it can learn how to repair itself, right? We have everything that we need, essentially. So this technology biohacks your immune system, shall we? And he was donating it to an orphanage in Romania where they had lost a couple hundred kids the year before that. And they couldn't figure out why. And Sam found out that it was because of malnutrition. And here he has the number one technology that turns on your immune system that's natural from the planet. You understand? And he starts donating it. And the next year, they didn't lose any children. And here he goes. And he goes, this is going to be, you know, the biggest. This could revolutionize everything. You know, if we could introduce a buy one, give one model, we are already a very, very successful company with a very, very successful product line and a customer base. If I can talk my shareholders into, you know, doing a buy one, give one model, we can essentially change the world. No child could potentially die from malnutrition any longer if we do this model. Goes back to his shareholders and they say no, because they have to protect what? Shareholder interest. So here he is, you know, thinking, you know, what do I do now? And he ends up leaving the company. He leaves the company, and a while after gets a call from a guy. It's almost divine because they had helped so many people, and he's thinking, how am I going to top this? Well, one of the guys that he was working with that ended up, you know, helping him learn how to extract what's called ace manin from the aloe vera plant, calls him and says, hey, this ace manin that I got now is 5 times stronger than the one that you built Manatech with. which, you know, is it, wow. it was a $4 billion company, I believe. So imagine that, right? And all the people that they had, you know, all the people that had, you know, incredible results on their products. So he essentially buys our company because he meets our old president at a food technology summit. Here we have that anti-inflammatory that I mentioned earlier, and here he has this immune, you know, this natural immune boosting technology that literally could revolutionize, you know, everything. We become what's called Alovea, and that's the company that we are now, formerly known as Evolve Health. Now we're Alovea. And I was sitting at an event where Sam was talking, and he goes, you know, we're going to introduce Social Business 3.0 to the world. And essentially, you help, you know, share these incredible technologies. You feed kids. And as more people hear about these amazing technologies that have changed a lot of your lives in the crowd, then, you know, the more kids you feed. And I just said, here I am. I've been given the gift of my health back. I've been given the gift of my life back. I'm making more money than I've ever made before, helping people, doing something that I've always wanted to do. I have people that are genuinely grateful for me in their life, and every time they see me, they're excited because they're different, because they've essentially become better versions of themselves. I'm just privileged, right? And I'm a stay-at-home dad at this point. I have, you know, two twin boys, and I just, you know, I got a little family, and it's like, I gotta do this for the kids of the world who never got this opportunity. I was adopted growing up. My mother gave me life. And because she gave me life, I always wanted to make my life something. My dad and my mother, who adopted me, they couldn't have children. My mother had surgeries growing up, and that always affected her ability to potentially reproduce. And that's why they wanted to have children. My mom picked my parents that I have now, who raised me, Jeff and Bobby Bauman, to give me a shot at life. And I always wanted to make my last name mean something, because my dad could never have children. So I wanted to be, you know, I wanted to be something. So I started to think about all the opportunities that I've had, from being a state champion in wrestling to, you know, using my name in the business world to acquire, you know, this lifestyle that I was able to essentially follow and chase every dream that I had. How could I sit back, being the athlete that I am, being, you know, having the vision that I did, you know, when I was a kid, about being a UFC champion or a champion in general in mixed martial arts? It's like, how could I not fight for these kids and raise awareness to the incredible products, to the incredible technology that we have? I don't see how I could do that. And so I forced myself to start training at this gym that was luckily only a 5-minute drive from my hotel my apartment at that time. And I began my training, and shortly after, amateur career, to go pro and try and get this mission out to eradicate malnutrition to as many people on the fucking planet, because it's time to change it.
Wow, dude, you covered a lot there. Apparently and obviously, I was not ready for that. Like, that was an in-depth answer, and I appreciate everything that you said there, man. Like, you are very well spoken. You speak with a lot of passion, with a lot of drive, and with a lot of intelligence. And I appreciate everything that you've been saying, everything that you talk about. After hearing all of that, you know, the MMA questions and stuff, they kind of seem a little less important, you know what I mean? So, but,
hear me out.
Yeah, you know, no,
I'm
do.
Doing this you want to know I'm doing this is because we got to talking, my friend. We got to talking in the DMs, and you've seen the vision, and you've been nothing but supportive. And it's like, when people understand the mission, and when they understand what I'm doing, and when they understand why I have to troll the world as hard as I do just to get attention on the shit that actually matters, it just, it kind of pisses me off. So it's like, this is me getting impatient. You understand?
Okay.
I've been patient for a very, very long time, but now I'm watching the world around me, I'm watching people suffer mentally. You understand? More so than they ever have before.
Man, like,
they're asking more questions.
It's like,
more children are still dying. Why aren't we talking about what's important? So it's, if I have to do things to get attention, or I have to trigger or whatever, then so be it. It's going to force us to be able to have questions, to have answers to the questions that we're asking. That's the point.
I agree, man. And I wish you the very best of luck. I hope, you know, we're, as I told you, our platform is available for you, because as you said, it takes a certain different type of seeing the world from a different perspective to see where it's at right now, how you can help and how you can get involved. And I feel like that's a stance that not enough people pride themselves on taking. So as I said, our platforms are available to you at any time, any way we can help you. We have our website, www.dayonevibes.com. We write articles about local fighters, stuff like that. So we're all for it, man. We're all for the change. It's for the kids. I have a Rumble page as well. If you listen to some of my songs, that's a constant theme in my songs, is passing on knowledge, wisdom to the next generation, rather than just trying to get rich, trying to get famous off of, you know, providing a bad message, you know. And that's what we do it for. We do it for the next generation. We do it so they can be aware of the things that they're walking into. And when they do walk into them, at least they'll be equipped in some way, if not properly. So I appreciate that. That was a hell of an answer. I wanted to ask you, where does the nickname King Bao come from? And also, you mentioned that you were a collegiate wrestler. You were a state champion wrestler. Tell us a little bit about your wrestling background.
The name King Bao has come from a long journey in my evolution of hip-hop. So when I was young, I got into rap, and I got into, like, battle rap, and how I got into that was I was biking one day with my buddy Jake. His name's Jake Armstrong. And we were biking around our small town of Wilmer. It was a town over from my small town. It had a mall, it had a Wendy's, it had a Target, you know.
Yeah.
So I was riding my bike around, and I go up to this circle behind this Wendy's in Wilmer, Minnesota, and these three big Mexican dudes, you know, they were, you know, a lot bigger than I was. They were rapping, and these kids were around them, and I came up, and they were freestyling, and one of them looked at me, and he started making fun of me. I think he started making fun of me because I didn't have socks on or something like that. I didn't like to wear socks when I was a kid. So everybody turned to me, and they go, "Hey, man, go, rap, you can do it, you're black, go." And I was just like, "What the fuck are you talking about? Like, what are you, I don't know how to go. What does that mean? Go." And I said, so I got on my bike and I fucking left.
Yeah, they said, go get out of here.
No. Like, they meant go and rap.
Yeah, for sure.
Get the fuck out, because I didn't know how to go. I didn't know how to freestyle. I didn't know how to rap. And that feeling that I felt, that disappointment in myself, I was like, never again do I ever want to not be able to go. So I went home and I typed on the internet how to freestyle. And the first thing that came up was this message board, and it was a big thread. And in the thread, one of the gentlemen that was helping people learn how to freestyle said, one of the best ways to do it, if you really want to, you know, do it on the fastest possible way, you get in front of a mirror and you put a camera up and you record yourself. And you record yourself turning on a beat, and you gotta rap, and you can't stop until the beat stops, and you go. It doesn't matter what comes out, you go. And you go back after you're done, and you watch it. And when I tell you, bro, I hated myself for the longest time. I hated myself because I couldn't go. That was the driving force for me. I wanted to have confidence. I wanted to be a person that could inspire with my fucking words. I wanted to stand in front of people and be proud with the things that I could come up with and the things that I could say. And I just started fucking, I just started spending every day in front of that fucking mirror until I could come up with one cool sentence or one cool bar or one cool punchline or whatever. And one day after I was feeling pretty victorious and I was looking back on my journey and just how much time I put into this, because that's all I did. All I did was come home from school, come home from wrestling practice, and get on my computer and go on these online message boards and talk rap with people, share writings, and they used to have rap message boards, and that's all I would do, and write music. And I was sitting around one day just thinking about my journey and what I wanted to become and what voice I wanted to have. What would my voice be like? And as I was sitting there, this thought came to me, and I just go, yo, when my name in your mouth, whisper it, because you ain't worthy to say it aloud, Joe Bauman. Hey. And I'm like, what did I just say? Hey. Wait, what was that? What? And so I write it. I'm freaking out. I write it down, and I just go, that's it. That's my tag, because I always wanted a tag. You know what I mean? I wanted to make beats. All these beat makers had tags and shit. So I'm like, Joe Bauman, oh, that's my tag. Yeah. I can do it before all my music. So my first email went from Beatbox Supernatural to sayitwhispering@gmail.com. You know what I mean? And I've had that since high school. That's why my Snapchat's @sayitwhispering. Everything used to be @sayitinawhisper, even on IG. That's how people knew me, was Joe Bauman, because I would do that before all my music. And, you know, when my name in your mouth, whisper it, because you ain't worthy to say it aloud. That's, you know, it's like,
hell yeah.
Right? I was young and I was into battle rap. I always wanted to battle rap.
You had finally found it.
So, yeah, you know, yeah. And then in college, we went viral, right? And everybody's like, you know, Joel, why don't you change your name? Why don't you change your name? Because if I changed my name in college to, like, let's say King Bao, I could essentially still do music. But at that time, I used the NCAA to go viral to get my name out there, right? So because it's a play on words. It's a bar in itself. Like, I literally just fought for my name. And you're making it go viral, all while telling me if I change my name, I will, you know, I'll be able to do music. So after we go viral for everything, I just said, you know, fuck it. We're going to change it to King Bao. In my song Gopher Stars, which was in 2014, I even said it was coming. Bao, man, don't you hear the name of a king? Long as my name in your mouth, it keeps making me things. I've been saying it in the music for a long time. This has all been a play, bro.
Yeah. All been
a play to get to this point.
That's wild, man. That's
you
wild.
You understand, King Bao? That's what it's all about now.
Yeah. So King Bao is the rap name. Is that where people follow? Is that where people find you? Are you on Spotify, YouTube? Where are you at?
_King Bao everywhere. KINGBAU. And, you know, Bauman, right? It's a play on words. Bao, yeah. Man, don't you hear the name of a king? Long as my name in your mouth, it keeps making me things. It's been in the music for years. People just need to catch up.
Yeah.
I'm impatient.
Yeah, hey, and sometimes that's what it takes. It takes, you know, there's what are you waiting for? You know, if you're sitting back waiting, what is it that you're waiting for? There's no point in waiting. If you want it, you got to go get it. So, by the way, before we continue, shout out your family, your adopted parents for doing that, for doing what they did for you, and shout out to you for taking that onto yourself and wanting to make the name proud and wanting to do that for your family. I have a lot of respect for that.
Yeah, you know, they deserve it. They're good people. I was not the easiest child to raise, and I am aware of that.
Which one of us were?
I see my energy in them, and I see all that they're going to become and all that they are now. You know what I mean?
Yes,
they're
sir.
Almost perfect little versions of me. And, you know, I want what's best for them.
Of course.
I want what's best for them. And if I can pass on a name in honor, then may I do that.
So you mentioned you talked a little bit about your college career. Who do you fight with right now? Who are you training with? Who gets you ready for the fights?
Jackson Wink, Coach Winklejohn, and all of my teammates, Juan Adams, T.O. Jackson. We have Jonathan Burnett. We have Christian Edwards, Davion Franklin. I mean, there's many people here that are great talent that can keep me sharp and ready. Dontell Mays. I mean, we have a little staple that we're creating.
Nice. So you said earlier on in the conversation, you mentioned how you were inspired by Bruce Lee, and Bruce Lee was one of the reasons that you got into combat sports. Explain where your unique fighting style comes from, because when I watched that fight between you and Cornfed Forrest, the first thing that struck me was your unique way of, you know, you're moving your arms around. I have no idea what that is about or like what it means or what.
Hear me out. I hate fighting. I fucking hate fighting. You want to know why? Respect. I hate fighting? Because I hate hurting people.
Respect.
I used to be obsessed with the ideal of having to like, I wanted to be like a Green Beret. You know what I mean? I wanted to be like a Navy SEAL. That was like my dream, nice. Right? At one point in time. I wanted to be and push my body to the limits and know that I could do absolutely everything imaginable with it. You understand? Like, it's always been my goal. And when I was growing up, I would be tried a lot. A lot of people would want to try me or try to invoke fights. And I have never, to this day, I have never been in a fight outside of the cage. I have been laughed at. I have been spit in the face where I've had loogies running down my face. I have been pushed. I have been absolutely everything that you threatened. I have been everything that you possibly can think of. And I've walked away each time. And here's the reason. Because growing up, I also worshiped the samurai. And the samurai were all about honor. And here's what would happen if you decided that you wanted to take out your sword and then put it back in and not use it. Meaning if you wanted to flex your gun, you know, nowadays people are pulling out guns and fucking, you know, they're pussies. You understand that they pull out guns and they just do all this shit.
Yeah.
The samurai, if you pulled out your sword and you didn't use it, guess what had to happen? You had to use it on yourself. It was disgraceful. It was dishonorable. So for me, every time I walked away from a fight, it was because I didn't want to have to kill anybody. Because that's, in my mind, where it's probably going to go. I don't know if anybody's going to have a gun nowadays.
Yeah.
It's my life before yours at that point. Why would I ever want to put myself in a situation like that? That's fucking stupid.
Yep.
Why would I want to throw away my future for you?
Yep.
You're not worth what I'm worth. I know my fucking worth. I want to be, you understand? I want to live off of 1% of my income and donate the rest and still have fuck you money.
Yes, sir.
That's the point.
Yes, sir.
You understand? I want to bring actual change to this motherfucking planet.
Yes.
And I know my worth. And you're not going to distract me from that. If you're not willing to sign the contract and get in a cage in your underwear in front of the world and put something on the line, then we don't have any business speaking or talking about fighting. Fuck my dick. You understand?
Man, that... Hey, all respect, dog.
So for me, fighting has always been super hard to get into, to turn off on my brain, like, oh, shit, now I gotta hurt this guy. Now I gotta fucking, like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Now I gotta... There's one story. There's a story of me boxing this dude at a party. Okay, it was in high school, blah, blah, blah. There might have been alcohol involved. Yeah. Okay. So here I am, I'm boxing this dude, and he just wouldn't stop. Like, he was getting hurt bad. My jab, anytime I threw my jab, and anytime I throw my jab, you know, and I throw it with confidence, it's going to hit you. You understand? And he's leaking, and he just wanted to be a tough guy, and I finally had to stop. I was the one that stopped. I literally looked at him. I said, bro, go fucking fix your face. We're done. This is absolutely ridiculous. Because I have mercy, bro. I have mercy. I have empathy. I don't want to hurt people, but this is now a show where people want to, you know, like, I found out, like, this was my dream, and it's fun, and I do love it, but I'm not trying to feed my demons. You understand? I'm not trying to feed my ego. There's people know that I have another, you know, there's another side to me. I've never brought it out in fighting. Why? Because I don't want to feed that. You know what I mean? I don't want to have to rely on that to perform. So that's why I stay calm and relaxed. And you saw the flow, you know, the flow of just me being calm. That was the first fight I have ever been calm in. You understand? Where I just was in a, just like a, little flow. All my other fights, I've always been fucking ready to go, fucking stressed, like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't want to fucking hurt this dude. You know what I mean? Like, this is fucking stupid.
Yeah, no doubt. You know?
Like, it is kind of fucking stupid, but I'm so good at it. You know, I'm afraid of what would happen if I kick someone in the face for real. You know, I have a head kick knockout, but I'm talking like my push kicks are fucking crazy, bro. I don't want to throw them. If you were watching my fight with Cornbread, you should go back. I accidentally poked him in the eye, and I waited until he was good. Everybody was like, go, finish him, go. And I'm just like, no, I'm not going to do that. That's not honorable. That's fucking stupid. Shut the fuck up. Let him go out on his shield the right way. Hell if he wants to go out on his shield. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not going to poke him in the eye and then fucking finish him, you moron.
Respect. You have
no honor. You understand?
Yep.
Like, that people don't have any honor anymore, bro. Like,
it's very apparent.
I'm finally in a space. I'm finally in a space because I'm not stressing about this fucking NFT. It's done. We're going to win. And we're getting all the right people involved. Like, I'm not stressing anymore in any way in my life, and everything is just flowing. And what you saw was me just in my flow. You understand?
Hell
yeah.
That's
what it is. It's just a flow.
That's good, man. I'm happy for you. So speaking of the Cornfed fight, Reese Cornfed Forest, that's my boy, that's my dog. We go back to the very beginning, man. I believe I was 10, 11 years old. He was my baseball coach. So anything, everything he's involved in, we're fully 100% behind him. And as I said, as I was watching it, we were introduced to you. A class act, man, top to bottom. You're a guy that deserves all the respect. You're a guy that a lot of people were impressed by you. A lot of people were impressed by that showing. Speaking of Cornfed, what can you say about your last opponent?
He's fucking awesome.
Yeah, he is.
He was the first, like, dude to be normal before a fight in the best possible way. He was honorable. He introduced me to his wife. He apologized for missing fucking, you know, 2 pounds. And I'm like, bro, shut the fuck up. You just cut however many pounds and how long.
80
like,
pounds.
Apologize. Like, you know, shut the fuck up, bro.
Yes,
like,
sir. You're on.
That's what I told him. You know what I mean? You don't need to apologize to me. You accepted the fight. You're a man. You understand? Everybody else wants to accept the fight on fucking short notice. Like, you show honor. I want to honor you. You know? Like, yep. I didn't want to fight him. I didn't want to do that to him. Every time I landed a jab, it hurt me. You understand?
Yeah.
I can't wait till there's someone. Like, my last opponent just started to try to talk shit to me when I was going viral. And, like, that makes me want to, like, wait a minute, what? Okay, like, you feel some type of way because I'm speaking my truth, and now you're feeling offended. Well, if you think that my truth is the actual truth, then why don't we run our truths back?
Hell yeah. You know? Hell yeah. Like, what was that? You know, the opponent before Cornfed?
Like, for me, I don't play the internet bullshit stuff. And if you want to play the internet bullshit stuff with me, I prove why I'm the goat of it. I'm the ultimate troll.
Yeah.
I'll show up to a gym. I had another gentleman who used to train at the Jackson here that ended up getting asked to leave. You know, he always was trying to mouth off, and I showed up to his gym with my camera. And I got footage, and I said, hey, Jackson, what are you? I've been DMing back and forth. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
We've been DMing back and forth. I don't play that. It doesn't. You understand?
Yeah,
it
definitely.
Now I'm. Hear me out. Because now I'm willing to fight. I can't wait till someone talks shit to me. I can't wait till there's animosity in something. You understand?
Yeah.
Because then I'll actually be able to show what I'm truly capable of. You understand? Like, I don't want to hurt Reese. That's fucking stupid. He's such a good dude. Like, fuck. You understand?
I definitely get that.
So dope. I don't want to fight him.
Yeah.
But some talk shit to me after, like, beating the worst version of me ever. Ever. Like, exhausted, tired. Like, all that shit that I said was real. It was definitely true. And if you feel some type of way about it, prove me wrong. I messaged my last opponent, and I just said, because he said, oh, you're making a bunch of excuses and all these things. And I said, if the excuse wasn't there, could you win? That question was never responded to. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I speak a certain level of truth, and I have a certain level of dialogue and self-respect to project my reality that I believe in out into the world. That's how you get other people to believe in it. And now I've fed that narrative, and now people believe that narrative. You understand what I'm saying? They believe what I'm saying because they could see that maybe I wasn't myself. So if you'd like to challenge that reality, by all means. Until then, shut the fuck up.
Yeah. So that was your last. That was your last fight before Reese.
Yes.
Okay. So sticking on the topic of your last fight with Cornfed, let's talk about your post fight interview. You've mentioned that you mentioned
my friend fight.
Yeah. But let's keep it right now. Let's keep it on the Cornfed before I advance to past that. Your post-fight interview, you've mentioned twice now about being viral, which is hence the nickname, Mr. Viral Viral. tell us about your post-fight interview. You ended up on Jimmy Kimmel, Shaq's got your name in his mouth, you know, you're everywhere right now, hot, the New York Post, Washington, like, you're everywhere. What's going on? What's happening? Explain it to the people who haven't had a chance to go into your comments and see your tweets and stuff like that and figure it out on their own. Explain it for them.
It's perfect execution. Listen to the phrase. Listen to the pacing. Listen to the words. There's certain words. If you study language, especially hypnotic language, there's specific words and there's a specific way to talk to get people to listen. And we executed perfectly. Like,
when you it was, back, yeah, it was. Yes, it was.
When you go back and you see it, bro. When you go back, it's all over my face. That's why I made the fucking memes. You understand?
Yeah, hell yeah.
Like, this is either gonna hit heavy or people are gonna miss it again. You know what I mean? Like,
yep.
Like, it's gonna hit heavy or it's not. So long story short, yeah, we knew what we were doing the entire time. I said what I said, you know, how I said it. And one of the things that I said was I fight to eradicate childhood malnutrition from the planet. And then I said, I also have an NFT that's going to come out and change the fight game.
Boom.
And I said, oh yeah, my last fight, you know, I had herpes, da 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 da. I kind of minimized it, right?
Yeah.
And then I got right back into what I was saying. Like, there was nothing. Oh, the delivery was crazy.
I didn't even catch it. I didn't even catch it when I watched it
bro,
first.
Oh, I know. See, but this
it was so
the
small.
Intricacies of how you say things.
Yeah.
Right? So the fucking media ended up running with, oh, herpes, herpes, herpes. But none of them motherfuckers ended up talking about how I was trying to fight to eradicate malnutrition. Ain't nobody touching that story. Ain't nobody reaching out for that. You want to know why? Because maybe they probably don't want to. I don't know. Why wouldn't you want to talk about that? I want to talk about that. Let's talk about that. Let's talk about how we can be of help to humanity. Now I got them right where I want them. Thanks. Because you want to know what we're going to talk about next time? What the fuck actually matters?
It's like I told you, you're going to be gold when you get into the UFC, man. And you're going to make a lot of people happy. A lot of people who feel in the same sense that we feel, that there's more important things to worry about rather than clickbait articles, making headlines, you know, all this other stuff that doesn't matter, doesn't it just doesn't matter. There's more important things in the world, and I think, as you said, it's time that people start waking up and start lending a hand to making a difference for the future, because at the end of the day, it's all for the kids. You mentioned your NFT, Fight For You. I was watching your Rumble page the other day, and what I got from it is you mentioned fighters get intellectual rights to their fights. Am I right? Am I wrong? Go ahead and, you know, explain that.
Absolutely. We're going to be a platform that allows performers to own the intellectual property of their performances. And it's going to be massive.
So explain that to somebody like myself, who is not very familiar with the NFTs, not very familiar with the intellectual rights, stuff like that.
Easy. Have you ever wanted to, I'm not a financial advisor, blah, blah, blah. I got to say that type of shit, right?
Of course, you know what I mean? I already know.
have you ever wanted to invest in a company like the UFC, basically when it was in its infancy?
Okay. So something like Rumble, is that the same thing?
Hear me out. What if you could buy something to show your ownership of the, you know, of whatever example you want to use, Bellator, UFC, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Not done.
Okay.
I'm just trying into perspective for you.
Okay.
Well, now every time we do an event, and every time we become, that multi-billion-dollar company or whatever, we become that entity, you gain or have a certain part of the company, and you're entitled to a certain percentage of profits, shall we say, right? So if we're X amount a year, what if, because you bought this little NFT thing, you were getting paid out based off of how big the company becomes? Oh. And that was just going to hit over and over and over and over again. What if that was a potential reality? Would that be pretty cool?
That'd definitely be pretty cool.
Yeah, it's gonna be something like that.
Is that to say the least, right? like a new thing?
One of the things that I guess we're gonna do.
So is it? It ain't no big deal or nothing. So is this like a new thing? Like nobody's done this, or are there people already looking into building this?
We're gonna be the first to do it.
Uh huh. Really?
Yeah, exactly. 100%.
Wow.
Hey, bro, I've been working like no one could even imagine, or no one even knows.
I had no clue,
bro. I put my
fucking
head down and I go. I don't make excuses. It doesn't matter how tired I am. It doesn't matter it doesn't matter what I got going on in my life. I go. You want to know why? Because I'm sprinting to try and see my children. I just want to hang out with the people that I love and not have to do any of this bullshit anymore. Yep. Not have to entertain. Not have to build a platform.
Yep.
I don't want to do any of this. What? I really have just wanted to do what I've been doing. Make music in my fucking room. Leave me the fuck alone. I'm in my heaven. You know, that's what I want to do. But I got, we got a crazy fucking world right now.
Yeah.
And we got a world that is looking like it's heading in a direction that I don't want to necessarily have it head to pass on to my children. I feel like it's time to just sprint, put my head down and go, change everything, disrupt everything, create a fucking platform to give back to humanity, and call it good.
Hey, amen, man. God, it's crazy because never in my life did I think that the guy standing on the other side of the ring from Reese Cornfed Forest, never did I think that I would ever come into contact with you, bro. For what reason would there ever be for us to come into contact when I was writing about the guy that you were fighting, so it wasn't until I saw your message, the things that you were saying online. I mean, obviously you went viral. Everybody saw that. But it's crazy how a lot of the things you're saying, you're taking the words right out of my mouth. Like if I were to sit on the other side of an interview, a lot of the stuff that I would have to say sounds a lot like what you're saying about your work ethic, about your drive, about your, you know, and it's just crazy to me, man. It's crazy how, I don't know if you believe in God. I it doesn't really matter.
144,000, baby.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. You see, that's crazy, bro. That's crazy. I think God works in very mysterious ways.
Hey, let me help you out. There's no such thing as crazy. It's literally all what we put out to the universe. It's what we attract and entrain to, and what entrains to us. Where is your frequency, and where are you vibrating? I went from laughingstock to genius in a matter of hours.
Yep.
I just disrupted all of consciousness. I was everywhere. I was in urban media. I was in mainstream media. I was in fucking Australia. I was in India. I was in Brazil. Wow. You understand? I just disrupted consciousness.
You literally assert yourself into people's conscious.
Bingo. Now I am forever embedded in people's minds. I have started the question, who the fuck is that guy?
Yep. Yes, you did.
What fuck is he talking about? Fucking NFT, fighting to eradicate childhood malnutrition. What the fuck is he talking about? Right? To, wait a minute. But that can then grow into, wait a minute, what the fuck is he talking about?
Yep. Yeah.
Then it goes, wait a minute. That's what the fuck he's talking about?
That's what he's talking about.
Exactly. 100%. I am the most patient, bro. I'm the most patient person in the world. I went viral back in 2012, and that's when I released fucking Gopher Stars. Bow, man, don't you hear the name of a king? Long as my name in your mouth, it keeps making me things. Again,
hey.
This is gonna come. It's just a matter of time. I've been trolling the world for 10 years, bro. I've been trolling the world for 10 years, and now everybody's on my timeline. Welcome. It's about to get real fucking stupid and real fucking nutty.
Okay, so you said earlier you mentioned you were on Rumble. Rumble's been a platform that I'm extremely supportive of. Not obviously, because a lot of people don't understand what Rumble's role is in the whole fight that you're talking about, the whole consciousness that is the world right now. Rumble is providing a platform for people to speak freely. Speak a little bit about, are you on YouTube? What happened that you ended up on Rumble, and how are you liking the app so far?
I mean, I have a show called Am I Canceled Yet? And
love the title, by the way.
Canceled YouTube. You know, that's what happened. I was talking about, you know, crazy shit like the Illuminati card game and how it is affecting our world today and the similarities and pointing out things, doing brilliant presentations that I'd love to actually start doing again. But yeah, you know, just talking about things and calling things, and that's why they call me Conspiragoat. It's one of my pronouns. It's Conspiragoat, and then my other pronoun is Shadowban God.
There you go.
And, you know, like... people figured out we've been telling this is the greatest story of all time, greatest story ever told. And
so how do you feel about Rumble? You're starting to establish your platform also on Rumble. Is that going to be something that you're going to use as a YouTube?
Yeah fuck you. I don't support communism.
Amen, brother.
I'm not supposed to use that word anymore. But the Twitter executives just came out and called themselves commie as fuck. So
I agree.
Me, I've been calling all this shit. That's why I'm getting louder. You understand?
Yep.
I've been calling all this. I've been calling everything straight down to a T. Why do you think I'm fucking pissed that I got my YouTube channel taken away? Russell Brand is now the number one fucking, you know, news station in the world. I love what he's doing. I love what he's doing. I love what I was doing. You know what I mean?
Yep. Also on Rumble.
You always, you know.
Russell.
Yeah, that's why we're doing what we're doing now. Like, you know, I like to compete in every way. You know?
Yep.
I think that's how we... competition, and it's not competition, it's more of you shine your light, I shine mine. Let's all just shine our lights, and when we do that, we can change everything. that's what we're doing.
Talk more about that, because I feel like a lot of people shy away from competition nowadays. Healthy competition, you know, nobody's talking about like, oh, I'm gonna bury you so I can get ahead or nothing like that. But competition is very important to a society, especially to, well, to both young men and women, but especially to a young man growing up. If you strip competition from him, I feel like that could be bad for a whole generation.
Here's what it is. This time will go down in, if it was my book, I would entitle this chapter The Great Humbling. This is now becoming the Great Humbling. People are being humbled. Their illusions are being shattered.
Yep.
A child thinks, a male child, a female child, whatever, a child will try an adult. Yep. And when the adult checks the child, it then realizes its reality is not necessarily the reality for all. Does that make sense?
Expand a little bit more.
What I mean is, if my child comes up and starts kicking me or starts clawing at me or starts hitting me, and I just, just be like, you're not going to do that, and I check them, they're going to learn that that's not like, that's not a viable reality.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I love you, but you're not going to throw a temper tantrum right now. Like, this isn't, that's not going to, if you ever thought you could kick my ass, you can't. Just, I'm going to hold your arms and put you in your booster seat now. Knock it the fuck off.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
They exactly. become humbled to that reality that you can catch up to them if they try to run away. You can do all the, and they see you walking, they see you doing all these things and want to stride after your example. When you take out competition, you don't allow people to strive for anything more than what they are. This is what Jordan Peterson talks about a lot. We have to have something to emulate to be better. There has to be expansion. We have to see ourselves now and go, how can I be better? I wish I had this mindset when I was in high school. The fuck?
Yep.
Where would I be at now? Mm-hmm. Holy me. You understand?
Yep.
Where would we be at if we had that mindset? And that's what, I think if there was an opposition, if there was an other, if there was something on the other side that had ill intent, I feel they would want to, or the opposition would want to, make people not believe in themselves and not believe in their potential and not even teach them their potential. That is what I believe. And I feel like it's playing out quite perfectly if that was the case. You watch most Americans and you talk and you see what they do and what they're consuming, and a lot of the times it's nothing, whether it's the entertainment, whether it's the movies, whether it's the Netflix. They can tell you everything about their favorite show, but they can tell you nothing about what's going on in North Korea.
Yep.
Don't even know who Yeonmi Park is. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
They can know all these things about their favorite sports teams, but they don't know what the fuck is going on in Africa. You understand? And because they're distracted, they don't give a fuck. Doesn't mm-hmm. matter to them. But that's the problem. Everybody needs to realize that your everything and the suffering that's happening for you on the outside is something happening internally for you. And when you can fix that, then you don't even have to think about it anymore. And then your mind can be at peace, because your heart can, your soul can be at peace. It's mind, body, spirit. That's why it's as above, so below. We got to fix the outside, and then we all can have peace on the inside and just fucking party and have fun and go, fuck in the woods and, be naked. We have to heal the world on the outside to heal the world on the inside, and vice versa. When we emit change in our own frequency, the world changes.
You see, and again, I said this earlier in the interview, like, the things that we're talking about are so much more important than mixed martial arts or a website or a platform,
Yeah, now you know why I'm annoyed. Exactly.
Yeah.
100%.
Yep. So...
Makes sense. trigger to get attention. People Definitely. Are stupid. They're not having the right conversations. Can we have the right conversations already? Fuck. It's annoying.
So, so at the risk
but
of
that's why you remain patient. You know, bro, I'm patient, but at the same time, I'm annoyed because now everybody's saying genius. My first fucking album was entitled Genie Is. Don't you see I am a genius? I make my dreams come true. That's what a genie is. Bro, that was in 2013. And I told the world that I set up the NCAA and I just wanted to do it to pursue music to show them how fucking dope I really am. Like, it's, bro, I'm just annoyed. Why do I have to keep doing this? It's like you guys want the smoke. You understand?
Yep.
I ended up, me doing the Conspiragoat thing, it was me versus the WHO, because people don't know this whole COVID bullshit, this took money out of my pockets too. Had a fight with Bellator, they told me I tested positive, came back, got two blood tests, and, well, I got one blood test done. Results came back right away, negative. Mm. So, a false positive test just took money out of my pockets, an opportunity out of my pockets. Isn't that interesting?
Yep.
And that story is fucking weird too. We can get into that another time. But again, I'm just impatient because now I feel like the world is being taken from me when I was trying to take over the world. You're not taking the world from me because I want to give the world back to my children because that's what they deserve and all children. You know?
Yep.
Want to take it all over to give it all back. And then I can be at peace and y'all can fuck off and leave me alone. I love all of you. I love you, bro. I love you. I don't even know you. Hear my voice. I fucking love you.
Same here, bro.
Please, for the love of God, when I do everything that I do, don't fucking reach out if you don't see my face or I'm not on social media. You understand what I'm saying? I'm going to make sure the world is taken care of. I want you to make so much money and be so well off that you and your family can go do whatever. Right? Awesome. Yep. And if you want to be a part of my community, then you can see my face all the time. But I want to create a fucking community, and I just want to live in that community, and then I want everybody else to fuck off.
Same. You know? Same. You see, and that's what I mean when I say that we think a lot alike. My goal is whenever I do get to a point where I can just, like you said, retract, live off of so much of your fuck you money, and all of a sudden I have a so many acre property, ranch, whatever you want to call it. I want to build a homestead, you know, get my family back over here, come live over here close, let's live off of our own land, blah, 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 you know? I mean, don't it could be people. So simple, man.
Hey, man, don't hurt people, don't hurt children, don't touch kids.
Period.
Don't be an asshole, you know?
Yep.
And if you want to do those things, you want to be an asshole, then it's just like, okay, you wanted this, like you did, like why? I don't want to, like, again, I don't want to hurt you. Why would I ever, like, again, if we were to be out on the street and you came up to me, it's like, bro, I don't want to hurt you. I really could. I don't want to, so just leave me the fuck alone. You understand?
Yep.
Like, just that's the energy. That's the energy. Hey, if it's not in your power or in your mental warehouse, just leave it the fuck alone. Hey, if you like dicks, you go enjoy that. That's cool. I ain't hating on that. Hey, if you like women, cool. So do I. You know, I'm not loving you. I'm not looking at you anymore. Whatever. Let's just not hurt people anymore, okay?
So
if
simple.
You want to hurt people, then figure out how to take care of you.
Yep. It could be so simple, man. It could be so simple. Some people just get too wrapped up in, like, and don't get me wrong, I'm the same way. Obviously, look at everything I'm involved in. You're obviously the same way. Look at everything you're involved in. People tend to get wrapped up in things, but it's when you, like you said, don't hurt people, man. There's no need to hurt people. There's no need to, you know, hey, better yourself and you can better everybody around you. Let's keep the interview moving. In your last fight against Reese, I heard the announcers talking about I'm paraphrasing, but something around the lines of like UFC hopeful, something like that. Can you expand on that? Tell us a little bit about that. Is there any updates that you could provide for us?
Hear me out. I used to want to be a UFC champion. That was my dream. And now I have a bigger dream, I think. Mm. I know. You know?
Okay.
like if they wanted to, you know, if they saw my value and they see what I could bring, you know, cool. But at the same time, my goal is to disrupt sports, you know? So it's like, if they want to work, cool. But if they don't, I don't give a fuck. I'm in my own lane, bro. I've always been in my own lane. This time it's going to make sense for people. They're going to see a tangible product and they're going to go, wow. You know, like, this is, okay, I get it now.
That's impressive, because ain't that where we all want to be?
I don't give a fuck about the UFC. If they want to reach out, I was the most talked about thing in fighting, bro. I was one of the most talked about things in the world, not just fighting. Still the story is going around and being shared. Just got another message about it today. So it's like, you know, I think I've proven myself time and time again. And I think when everybody sees the entire vision of what's to come with, you know, the NFT and just everything, bro, it's like, I don't know. I feel like I'm, you know, we'll see.
So your goal, your plan is definitely far beyond just signing with some promotion and, okay,
no,
I made
bro,
it.
I don't want to be, hear me out. More and more people are now starting to realize what the game is, bro. Game ain't changed since 2012. What the fuck are we talking about?
Yep.
These kids signing their lives away to fucking colleges that don't do shit for them. I mean, now they can make money. Now they can get paid. Back when I did it, nobody fucking got paid.
Yep.
Unless you had a full scholarship. I didn't have a full scholarship. I had 10% and was told that if I did well, that I would be able to, you know, up it. It's horseshit. I mean, that's the free industry. That's the free country model, and I believe in that model. That's why I decided to take that scholarship and turn down other offers that were offering way more money. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Bet on yourself principle. I believe in that principle, but at the same time, I know my worth. And now you have rappers, now you have fighters, now you have college athletes, now you have all these people coming out talking about their deals and all this shit. And it's like, well, exactly. Like, I've been hip to this game. I've had, you know, labels try to take my fucking music for 70 or 80% of my publishing, saying, hey, we're going to give you the platform to do that. Like, fuck you, bro. You just asked for 80% of my shit. I'm not dumb. I'm not like all these other fucking group, you know. Like,
yeah.
I'm not stupid. And that's why that's why I feel like, you know, I'm another thing that they might not want to give a platform to. To be honest.
And that's why you got to create your own.
Bingo, 100%, bro, 100%. Bigger than fighting.
Way bigger. Way bigger.
Bingo.
I look forward to working with you in the future, because I have no doubt in my mind that inevitably and eventually our paths will cross again, whether it be at the way top or whether it be soon down the road. I look forward to just, you know, obviously witnessing your journey, your rise, everything that you're gonna go through, you're gonna accomplish, and you're gonna, you know, everything you take on. But my last question, this is the last question of the interview, bro. I really, really appreciate your time. I imagine you're a busy guy. I imagine you have crazy stuff to do with everything that you've just discussed on this podcast. So I want to thank you from me and the 3&D Signs and Sports Podcast family for coming on here and giving us your time, man. My last question for you is there any way that we could collab on some music? I love music. Yeah. I love working on music, creating music. I'd love to work with you, man.
Yeah, of course, man. You know, we got beats stashed away and whatnot. We definitely talk. I got you, brother.
Hell yeah. Stay in contact and I look forward to, like I said, maybe one day we can partner on a collaboration, a project, or something to help somebody, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, my whole thing is, you know, if you can't kill my beats, then you can kill yourself.
Hey, I mean, everybody has their own standards, right? So.
Yeah, 100%. I used to, when I sold beats, that was my tagline. You know, hot.
Yeah.
Bow to the Crown Productions. And we're looking for dope rappers who want to get on dope beats. If you're a dope rapper, then you should check out To The Crown Productions. And if you're not a dope rapper and you try and get on my beats, then kill yourself.
I like that. I'll do what I do. And yeah. If you like it, you like it. If you don't, no hard feelings. We'll figure out another way to collaborate.
Oh,
Nah, but you're gonna find out what we're about here. And hey, like you said, the thing about me is when I get involved in something, I don't do it just to do it. I want to be the best. I want to, you know what I'm saying? I push myself, like you said.
That's why you fucking do hip hop, bro. I know. I already know the game. You ain't gotta fucking tell it to me.
Yes, sir.
I know exactly why you do what you do, and I honor you.
I appreciate you. I appreciate you. Thank you for your time, Joel King Bao Bauman. Everybody, be on the lookout for this man, the genius genie he is. Everybody, just keep an eye out. Pay attention to the things that this guy is doing. It's bigger than fighting. It's bigger than fame. It's bigger than anything. All of these distractions in the world. Joel, I'm gonna give you the microphone. I'm gonna give you the platform for the next minute or whatever you want to do. The mic is yours. Go ahead and say whatever you want to say. The platform is now yours.
You know, everyone should just go listen to my song, 144,000. It's on all platforms. And everybody should go listen to my song, Until Then. It says in the beginning, daughters hurting, sons are dying, families losing, mothers crying, so much pain, evil rising, don't want to feel so suicidal. I just want all to be alive when there's no more whys and compromising until then. And that's just a sentiment of where I'm at right now. I don't know, 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 I don't know. I just want to get high.
Joel, thank you, bro. Thank you again. I know I've said this throughout the whole podcast, but thank you for gracing our platform, bro. As you told us, we love you as well. We're behind you. We're gonna be following, paying attention. If we can meet with you down the road, like I said, I'd love to work with you again. And it's been a fun interview, man. I appreciate it.
Always, my friend. Always. Those who control the narrative win.
All right, guys. Thank you for tuning in to the 3&D Signs and Sports Podcast. We will catch you guys on the next one.
The realest underground entertainment, TRUE. Hashtag that true. The realest underground entertainment. Your source for local music. Your source for local marketing, hype, branding, exclusive experience. What do you need? What do you got? How can we help you? How can you help us? How can we help you? TRUE, the realest underground entertainment. Rilo, Tone G, Merculation, D.I.G., J.B., Chach with the heat. Shout out to Villain Vision Music, A2J, Villain Vision Music, A2J, Villain Vision Music, A2J. Check out the Realest Underground Entertainment at True Records on YouTube, at the Realest Underground Entertainment on Facebook, and at Day One Vibes, the home of the realest underground entertainment. Get at your boys.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to the newest, most exciting sports entertainment podcast on Rumble, the 3&D Signs and Sports Podcast, brand new to Rumble, 1 year in, and we have already made major, major, major strides. The 3&D Signs and Sports Podcast, the people's platform, America's podcast. If you haven't already, make sure to subscribe to Designed I Gifted, all lowercase, no spaces, Designed I Gifted on Rumble for the 3&D Signs and Sports Podcast. The one home of the 3&D Signs and Sports Podcast is rumble.com. And exclusively on www.dayonevibes.com, you can find every episode of the 3&D Signs and Sports Podcast. Just 1 week after its drop date, you could find the 3&D Signs and Sports Podcast on www.dayonevibes.com. You can find the 3&D Signs and Sports Podcast by following Designed I Gifted, all lowercase letters, no capitals, on Rumble. The 3&D Signs and Sports Podcast, the newest, most exciting sports entertainment platform on Rumble. Not just your podcast, America's platform and America's podcast. Tune in to dayonevibes.com, the home of the realest underground entertainment. dayonevibes.com, www.dayonevibes.com, to be featured on dayonevibes.com. Direct message any member of the Realest Underground Entertainment Music Group, DIG, Designed Individually Gifted, Rylo, Ryan Lopez on Facebook, Tony G, Tone G, Josh Baez on Facebook, JB, Mario Chavera, Chach with the Heat, Hector Lopez, Merculation. Get at your boys, make sure that you get featured on the hottest, newest website out of Falfurrias, Texas. Make sure to do your thing, do your thing, do your thing. Are you craving something sweet? Do you love dessert? Are you tired? Do you not want to drive anywhere? Do you like delivery? Do you like delivered baked goods to your door? It's the future, ladies and gentlemen. We gotta get with the times and we gotta get with the efforts. Catering with Grace, baked goods, delivery, and more is offering that service to you today. Call the number 361-474-3050 and inquire about information to get your graduation catered, to get your wedding catered, to get your birthday catered, to get your niece's quinceañera catered, to get your Saturday night party catered, get your Super Bowl party catered, get your Sunday game day catered. We can do it all. They can do it all. Catering with Grace, 474-3050. That is 361-474-3050. What are you doing this Saturday night? What are you doing this Friday night? Matter of fact, what are you doing Thursday night for ladies' night? Heathen's Haven in Premont, Texas, owned and ran by producer of True Records artists DIG, JB, Rylo, Tone G, and A2J, Chach with the Heat, a bar established in 2021 in Premont, Texas. Heathen's Haven, open today, where the heathens come to play. Come and check out the newest, hottest, craziest attraction. Come and have a beer. Come and have a drink. Come and have a laugh with everybody at Heathen's Haven. Let's go.